Again, God is going to use this imperfect man, David, to teach us about how to forgive. Is he perfect? We will find out that he is not. But we are going to learn from that man's mistake as well as the good things about that man. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've been studying this 2 Samuel, and we realize that there is a repeating theme over and over and over throughout this study. It's about forgiveness. It's about extending mercy. And extending grace. In spite of the situation, in spite of the hatred that David received, he is doing what you want us to do. Let us not just have another Bible knowledge, but let it be our lifestyle. Extending forgiveness, extending mercy and the grace of God, because we are the one who received. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18 or verse 33 in 2 Samuel. Then the king was deeply moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. As he went, he said thus, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son." Hebrew's word, the idea of the deeply moved, is literally violent trembling. Some of you guys have seen, and some of you have been experienced, that when you're deeply distressed, you're crying your heart out, your body shakes. And this is the case in point. And the note that this is not just, when he was repeating, "My son, Absalom, my son," he's not just repeating without thinking. He, of course, he is thinking about his role in his son's death. And as well as he's recognizing he's one who's responsible. And David rather died in the place of his own son. I remember when I was holding my daughter, she was probably 3 or 4 years old. She got cold and she was coughing a lot. Tiny little body, we didn't know what to do. It was a late night. We didn't have insurance. So the best thing we could do is I held it tight and inside the bathroom, turned the hot shower on. You know, maybe steam would help. All I could think about is, why don't I cough? Why don't I be the one who gets sick? Probably that would be a tiny portion of what this father is going through. In the cry of David, I find that is similar to what, more than similar, that's a cry of our Father for the last one. Amen. He's crying out to all those who are lost. And when many years ago, or some years ago, when you were lost, when I was lost, he was crying out to himself, I guess. "My son, Junho, my son, and I would die for you." And he did. He sent his only begotten son. Verse 1 of chapter 19 now. Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for the Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into a mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, "The king is grieved for his son," and the people stole back into the city that day as the people who were ashamed steal away when they fled in battle. But the king covered his face and he cried out with a loud voice, "O my son, Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants and you who today have saved your life, lives of your sons and daughters, and lives of your wives, and the lives of concubines. in that you love your enemies and hate your friend, for you have declared today that you regarded neither princes nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. Now therefore, arise, go out, speak comfort to your servant, for I swear by the Lord, underline next phrase, please. If you do not go out, and not one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil has befallen you from your youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, the next line is important again, on the line, there is the king sitting in the gate. So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. David's excessive sorrow made the royal friend feel ashamed about the great victory day. See, David's problem is not, listen carefully, David's problem is not what he knew. He knew that his son is dead. He knew that he is involved in the son's death. He is the one who ordered to fight the battle. And he knows that he is responsible for his son's death because, second, indirectly, because he did not take care of his son, raising him properly. However, what he knew is not the problem. What he forgot is the problem. What did he forget? God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. And he has a friend. He has a supporter. He has family to take care of. When the people go through excessive mourning for the lost, and they're so concentrated on what they have lost, and they forget that what they have, what they know. I'm not degrading, or I'm not thinking that this excessive sorrow is wrong, or I'm not saying that what they're doing is not big deal. Well, as a Christian, we have to remember, yes, we lost something. However, we have to remember that we lost those things because God allowed it to happen. There's a sovereign will of God, and trusting He allowed it to happen, even though He's an omnipotent God. So what I'm saying is, remember, I said, we cannot always look at the trees. We have to look at the forest. We have to look at the big picture. So next time when you face a difficulty, maybe you can remember this word. Problem is not what we have lost. Problem is we might forget something that important. As a believer of Jesus Christ, we do have a hope in the future because of Him. Joab gave David a stern rebuke and a wake-up call. It is sharp truth delivered with a precision skill. There's a time we can confront a person with gentleness. There's a time we have to do it sternly. This is case in point. He did it with a precision skill. And he made David realize that he's about to lose everything. Just like I said, David was so concentrating, he lost his son, he didn't realize he's about to lose what he has. David's people need to see it. I asked you on the line, the sitting in the gate. What's the big deal about sitting in the gate? Westerners cannot understand, but I guess that is the important thing. Throughout the Old Testament, also New Testament, especially when the book of Ruth, and Boaz is sitting at the gate, and book of Job, he said, while I was sitting in the gate, what's the big deal about it? I guess that is the kind of gathering place for the town notable people. That's where the authority comes in. That's where they judge things. And this is the authority place. So they get together, and this is where kings sit down, and that means I am in control again. They need to see this kind of thing. All right, verse 9. Now all the people were in dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of Philistine. And now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in the battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" David survived the Absalom's attempt coup. And he, however, facing the problem, he does not have a kingdom back because his kingdom is divided in two. One to follow David, one to follow Absalom. Stupidity of the Israel people aligns to the Absalom is rather clear. See, that what they did is, as they said, they anoint him over them. It is not God who anointed them. It is not God who anointed Absalom over the Israeli people. It is themselves. We have to remember, guys, I said this last night at the Rio Rico Bible study, and I repeated this many times. Whatever we strive to obtain, we have to strive to maintain. If we generate something with our own strength, because God is not in it, we have to make it going. But if God is in it from the beginning, we don't have to try to do anything, because it will flow. They took the wrong, the Israeli people took the wrong side. Now they're confused. Now they're in the misery. And they have to get this king back. See, they want this King David back when they turn away from him to receive the false king. We often do the same thing, guys. We often only decide to bring back the real King Jesus into our heart when all the false king in our heart does not work. That could be the ambition in career. That could be ourselves. Or that could be our feeble attempt to get rich quick. Scratching that little ticket. Or doing this. Since it's not very fun, why don't we just stop by it and do that? No, that doesn't work. That's not how the God operates. How many of you guys received, you are in the third stage for the Reader's Digest sweepstake? How many of you guys you received that kind of thing? I did. Many, many times. And I didn't know I entered those first and second stage. Verse 11. So the King David sent Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, saying that, "Speak to the elders of the Judah, saying them, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of the old Israel have come to the king and to his very house? You are my brethren, you are my bone, and you are my flesh. And then, why then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if you are not the commander of the army before me, continually in place of Joab." So he swayed the heart of all the men of Judah, and just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, "Return you and you all your servant." David would not force himself to reign Israel again. He's waiting for the invitation from the people. Since the day he was rejected and Absalom was accepted as the king over them, David agreed to replace Joab, the commander-in-chief and the commander of his army, with Amasa, who is his nephew. Why did he do that? In my opinion, there's two reasons. Number one, nice diplomacy, trying to sway the people's heart. Second one is, in my opinion, his retaliation from him. He made a specific order to command to the Joab. What did he say? Do not kill Absalom. What did Joab did? Made him to be Siskaba. So, okay, so he didn't follow my order, so you're out. Listen to me, please. The way David is doing is so much like our God would do to our lives, in our lives. The Holy Spirit does not take control of anyone against his or her will. When the people who are lacking in spiritual willingness and desire and determination to cooperate with him, instead of forcing his way in, he stepped back. Or even those mature Christians, if they're insisting their way, he simply stepped back and he let us go through. Inevitably, the result is pathetic. You know it, I know it, because we all been in that position. We insist our way, and we try to make our things happen. Guess what happened? It doesn't work. Why? Because God is not in it. When God is not in it, naturally it goes down south. Holy Spirit is so much gentleman that we wouldn't force his way into our lives. If we open our heart to him, he will be there. He will guide us. However, if we say no to him, he stops. Verse 15, then the king returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to the Gilgal to meet the king and to escort the king across Jordan. The Shimei, remember this guy? Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king David. There was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and the 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king, and the ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now the Shimei, the son of Zerah, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, for remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not the Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversary to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? Do I not know that today I am the king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king, remember what we just read, okay? And the king swore to him. Pretty soon we are going to see another Super Bowl. That means day after Super Bowl game, whoever the champion team is, we're going to see the bumper sticker and flag on all the cars. Did you notice that? When the Dallas Cowboys won several years ago, just about every other car has Dallas Cowboys bumper sticker. And after that, Green Bay Packers won. Green Bay Packers who? I mean, nobody cared about the cheesehead for a long time. And all of a sudden, when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl, everybody had that Green Bay Packers flag and bumper stickers, trying to identify with the people. These people who could care less about David when he was running away from the Absalom, from the Jerusalem, they didn't even look at the direction of David. Now they're coming out of woodwork. Remember Shimei, the king, Saul's distant relative, who came out, kicked the dirt, and threw the rock at David as he was fleeing from the Jerusalem. And he cursed, bring the curse down on David, God's curse. And now he's singing the different song called Viva David. All of a sudden, he realized that this guy is not going to die. He's coming back as a king. If he comes back to the throne, maybe my neck wouldn't be on top of my shoulder. So I should sing a different song. Shimei is bless me against the Lord, anointed is a capital offense. So, of course, Abishai, jealously pointing out, we need to do something about this boy. Abishai is the type of people who would follow the law. To him, mercy is a weakness. However, to David, mercy is the strength. The law of the God in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments we know, give us clear idea who we are. We are man with a sin. We need God. The New Testament gives us clearly that we need God because we cannot come to God when we are known as sinful people. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of the glory of God. And the wage of sin is what? Eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So it gives us a different concept. And of course, mercy is the one we desire for. However, do we extend that same mercy to others? As we studied at the beginning, the one who forgiven much will understand how to forgive other people. When we think we don't need the forgiveness, those are the ones who would not forgive other people. You follow me? The one who truly understands forgiveness from God will extend the same kinds of forgiveness to other people. How could David show such a restraint? I find two reasons. Number one, his focus is on the road. On the Lord, not road, on the Lord. He's not dwelling on the things that Shimei's offense. But he's dwelling on God will take care of this problem. Second reason why I see that he is restrained himself is because he was aware of his own sin. What do I mean? What kind of sin did he commit? More than insult to the king, he committed adultery and he killed a man. And he lied to the entire nation. And he denounced God's name indirectly. We read it in chapter 11. Because of him, because of his action, throughout the generation, people will curse God's name. I wish the story end here. Then it would be great, beautiful forgiveness story. However, this great man, great example, great man of God, did something different. The sweet singer of Israel, King David, at his deathbed, he extended a merciful hand with open hand, and at deathbed, he wrapped his finger and clenched into the fist. Where do I find? 1 Kings chapter 2, please. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings is right after 2 Samuel, which is also known as 3 Samuel, like a spoon says. So if you find 3 Samuel, that will be 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Yep. 1 Kings chapter 2, 8 and 9. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite. This is King David speaking to his son Solomon on his deathbed from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan. I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him. but to bring his gray head down to the grave with the blood. He never forgot about it. So his axe handle is still sticking out somewhere. Let's not do that. How tragic. Verse 24 of chapter 19, 2 Samuel again, please. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes. I bet he stunk. From the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "O Lord, my king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant to my lord king, but my lord king is like an angel of God. Therefore, to do what is good in your eyes. For my father's house were but dead men before my lord king, yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land." So Mephibosheth said to the king, "Rather let him take it all. Inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house." This proves me, in my opinion, Mephibosheth is truly sincere and Ziba is the one who lied. And as I said before, the reason why Ziba lied because he didn't want to be the servant to this lame guy. And he did not concern about he no longer have a property, nor he's concerned about his slander by the lying servant Ziba. Only thing he cared about is his king, David, is back in the house. This gives me a thought. We are often more concerned about our right as a Christian than the glory of God. We are often more concerned about our fame and reputation than God's name. We are often more concerned about our days and day-to-day events than other people whom God put in front of us in our path. We want to take care of our own thing first. Nothing wrong with taking care of our own thing first. But if God is laying a person or people in our heart, shouldn't we take care of them? Because God is the one who is putting them in our heart. I do firmly believe that if we take care of those people, if we take care of the good things in the kingdom of God, all the other things will be falling into the place without any trouble. It is no wonder why Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you." Having a right priority is very important. Let's find out what kinds of token of appreciation the David extend to the different people. Verse 31. Barzillai, the Gileadite, came from the Logelin. Why can't they just say Tucson, Sarita, huh? And went across the Jordan and went with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with the supplies while he stayed in the Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come across with me, I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem." But the Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king to the Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer voice of a singing man or singing woman? Why then should your servant be further burdened to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, and I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Kim Ham. He's a brother of Kim Bacon. Let him cross over to my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Kim Ham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. So whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. He returned to his own place. Barzillai is with a man of great resource. He's a rich man, and he used his resource, that God-given resource, for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 11, please. Chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Wow, even Tiffany is turning the page. She's awake. That's good. Chapter 12, verse 21 of Book of Luke. So is he who laid up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Barzillai is wise enough to put his resource in heaven, toward heaven, and he was rich toward God. Especially in this time of the year, people spend money for one another. If they just know how much they can spend their money toward God and bring glory to Him, I wish they knew. One of my relatives, they are so loaded, but they are so stingy when it comes to God thing. Too bad. Now the king, verse 40, chapter 19. Now the king went to the Gilgal, and Kimham went on with him. All the people of Judah escorted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Now, just then, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have you our brethren, men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king, his household, all the David's men with him across Jordan? So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift? The man of Israel answered, and the man of Judah said, we have 10 shares of in the king's, therefore we also have more right to David than you. Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king? Yet the words of the man of Judah were fiercer than the words of the man of Israel. But isn't that funny? The Israeli people could kill us about King David, and they are the ones who stood up against King David. Now, all of a sudden, they are the ally. Trust me, people are fickle. They turn away from Jesus Christ in a matter of 3 days. And people who say you are the best and all of that, watch out. I'm not saying don't trust them, but don't hold on to their praise, because next morning it can be from the best man to the worst kind human being ever lived in the human history. This competitive attitude between the land of Judah and the land of Israel is the start of splitting the nation in two. Let's make applications. Application number one. Let's put it up. If somebody cares enough to rebuke our wrong in love, we should be wise enough to reconsider it. After put their counsel, their rebuke against the Word of God, test the old spirit, word says. After put it against the word of God, if it's right, take it. And we should follow. It's a part of our growing process in Christ Jesus. Second application, let's remember what we have in Christ while we face the loss around us. While we facing the loss around us, let's remember what we have in Christ. Remember what I said, when people go through excessive mourning or excessive loss, and all they think about is what they lost. I'm hoping that those people would remember what they still have. Third application, to forgive someone doesn't mean we have to forget the offense entirely. Forgiving is accepting the past and leaving it behind rather than dragging into the future. That is so important, guys. Forgiving is accepting the past and leaving it behind rather than dragging into the future. Husband and wives, if you guys have a problem, okay, somebody said, when my wife gets mad, she doesn't become hysterical, but she becomes historical. Bring back that from the hard drive, the memory they have, all the bad things that you've done. Bring it back over and over and over, reminding us. Don't do that, ladies. You ladies are good at that kind of thing. Chop it off. Burn that hard drive, trash it, dump it, erase it. I don't care what you do with it. Don't bring it back. Don't drag the past to the future. If you want to have a problem, that's the best way to have a problem. It's impossible forgetting has more to do with the restoring and enjoying the relationship. It's not easy to forgive other people, but let it slide. It is learning to trust again. It is accepting the past, leaving it behind. Please, leave it behind. That's the first process of forgiving and forgetting. Let's stand up and pray.